Welcome to episode 13 of Off the Charts, the horse racing stakes picks podcast. I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great tonight, Dave. How are you? Hey, happy birthday, my friend.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. We're actually recording it on my birthday.
We are.
So before we get started, I wanted to get you guys all set as far as social media and our website. Make sure you go to our website. It's offthechartshorseracing.com. When you visit that website, all of our social media links are up there, including Twitter. You're going to follow us on Twitter at offthechartshr. Had a few extra followers that came on to us last week. And I want to make sure that you are following all the things that Steve does tweet he does all his picks. As well as you can add us to your favorite podcatcher. Just look and search for Off the Charts Horse Racing, as well as in iTunes. Agenda for this week is we're going to review last week, and it was a rough week, to say the least. And you'll have a couple races to go through, as well as we're bringing back the Horse Nuggets segment for this week, and you're going to be talking about turf handicapping. So let's review that rough week we had last week at the Breeders' Cup. It was a good event, but a lot of horses, a lot of tough challenges.
There were a lot of tough challenges, Dave, but at the end of the day, there were 13 Breeders' Cup races, and we had two top selection winners. And fortunately for us, those two winners, at least one of them, Good Magic, paid $25 to win. So, and really, that's all it takes is to have one nice winner like that to have a profitable weekend of betting on the Breeders' Cup. So we had Good Magic pay $25. We also loved Gun Runner, as you know, and that horse paid $6.80. So our total profit on a $2 wager, if you would have wagered $2 on all of our plays over the 13 races, you would have made $31.80, and you would have had to invested $26. So we actually made a net profit for the weekend on our top selections. So that would have been a 22% ROI for Breeders' Cup, which is pretty good. I followed a number of the top handicappers on Twitter and on some of their websites over the weekend. And there was a handful of handicappers that had done pretty well, but most of the experts did not perform as well as we did over the course of those 2 days. Overall, we've handicapped 65 stakes races over the course of these podcasts, Dave, and we've had 30 top two pick winners in those 65 races. So once again, almost half the time that the winners of these very difficult races are found in our top two picks. So, just in terms of picking a lot of winners, we certainly didn't pick a lot of winners over the 13 races, but we did score with one really nice winner that I got some feedback from some of my my friends who had been betting the races, and it kept them in the game. And then obviously they were able to come back and put a nice wager on Gun Runners. So, I think the fans probably made some money with our picks.
Yep. Now we had a little discussion, and I'm going to throw you off here, but I just kind of thought about it. Delmar was a very tough track for a lot of these horses because they had such huge fields. And I know you and I, when we were in Vegas last week, we had a lot of discussion about that, and as well as our friends did. And I mean, the track was too – let's face it, it was kind of small for the width of the track for all these – 14 horse fields in some of them. Do you think that affected the handicapping a little bit?
I do, Dave. And it's a narrow track both on the dirt and on the turf, but especially on the turf. It also started to prove out to be not a very speed-favoring track, and especially if you were down inside like Arrogate was in the Classic. Those horses that were on the inside seemed like they were spinning their wheels. I've never seen so many odds-on, low-priced horses get beat on a Breeders' Cup weekend and beat at prices of, 3 to 5, 2 to 5, and beat soundly, like not even in the money, not even competitive. Bolt de Oro some of those horses that just got pounded, and Lady Aurelia. I mean, there was a number of horses that were just, you know, Lady Eli. I mean, there were horses that were, you know, heavily bet that right. that were nowhere. So, yeah, very, very difficult. A lot of long shots.
I mean, yeah, there was. I mean, there were some of the gimmicks. I mean, they were paying $13,000, $14,000, $15,000.
Yeah, they were, and there was. And I know that you know that there was a point in time on Saturday where I said this is like playing bingo or roulette.
It was. I mean, it got to a point. It was getting rough.
until my $25 horse came through, and then I went back and said, "Well, that was great handicapping." So you know, it's it all depends on your perspective on whether you're winning or losing. But yeah, it was definitely challenging, Dave.
Yeah, but I'm glad to hear that next year's Breeders' Cup, it'll be at Churchill Downs. So I think that
correct. Yeah,
it'll be good. It's gonna get the weather might be a challenge there, you know, because it'll probably this is a cold time of year in the Midwest.
It is.
So it's an interesting pick, but we'll see what happens. But anyway, yeah, I wanted to just throw that out. And
no, it's a good point. Yep.
And let's move right on, and we'll talk about let's go to your Horse Nuggets segment, and you want to talk about turf handicapping.
I did, Dave, and it's because a couple of these races that we're going to be handicapping on Saturday are on the turf, and I started thinking about what I would do for a Horse Nuggets segment, and I thought I would just give the listeners just some of my thoughts around handicapping horses on the turf. Always for me, by default, you know, I feel like closers have an advantage on the turf. It seems like turf racing has in the States has gotten like turf racing in Europe, where they kind of race three quarters of the race, kind of just galloping along, and then everybody kind of sprints home the last quarter of a mile. And so, you know, I look for closers, and I look for closers that, you know, have demonstrated an ability to come from, you know, pretty far off the pace and close. Though I think there are some. There are some handicapping situations where I think speed can be effective on the turf, and different than it is on the dirt. I find that speed has a tendency to hold on soft turf, on yielding turf courses, on good turf courses. In fact, the soggier the turf course, mm-hmm. The more I find that speed has a tendency to hold on. And I really believe it's just because those horses are able to get in front, and the closers just have a really hard time digging in on that soft turf course when they turn for home. So, you know, many of them don't show the same closing kick that they normally do, but listeners, as they're handicapping turf races, the softer the turf, the more I like speed. Like a lot of the handicapping that I do, Dave, I look for those horses that can produce a last eighth of a mile. If they can do it under 12 seconds, I try to identify those. I've got a couple of those identified today. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I do, especially with young horses or lightly raced horses or horses that haven't been on the turf much, and I already did a Horse Nugget segment on Tomlinson, so I like to look at the Tomlinson figures for turf, especially with, you know, maidens or horses that you know, a group of horses that haven't spent a lot of time on the turf. So Tomlinson's a great tool to use to give you some indicator of whether a horse might be good on the turf. And then an angle that I've been using for a lot of years, which is I like horses that go turf to turf, and especially effective if it's their second lifetime race. So if they were on the turf the last time, and now they're coming back on the turf, back-to-back turf. And it can be back-to-back turf just first and second time on the turf. The bottom line, Dave, is that I find that horses really improve from that first start on the grass to their second start on the grass. And it's probably because for most of them, it's an unfamiliar experience the first time, and you can get some horses to really jump up in improvement the second time. So turf to turf, I like. And then I would just thought I would identify for the listeners some of the jockeys that I have a fondness for when they're on turf horses. So, you know, I put Johnny Velasquez on my list. I put Jose Lascano on my list. I put Manny Franco on my list. Javier Castellano, DeSormo, Mike Smith, Irod Ortiz. I think Irod is better than Jose Ortiz on the turf. So those are just a couple of the handful of jockeys that when they are on a horse that's on the turf, especially if maybe they're on the horse for the first time and the trainer's putting them up in a turf race, I pay special close attention to those. So I just wanted to, kind of give the listeners some nuggets as it relates to turf racing and some of the things that I look at as a handicapper when I'm handicapping turf races.
Great. All right. That was another interesting segment. We appreciate all the information you provide us for the listeners out there. So we'll have another segment on that next week. Meanwhile, you found a couple stakes races. We don't have as many as we had last week, that's for sure.
So, no, and I needed a breather.
Yeah,
Dave.
That was exhausting last week. It was exhausting, especially we got episode 12 in last week in record time. That was a lot of work, but we appreciate all the knowledge and information you give us. So we only have three races this week, which is fine, and it's one race at three different tracks, and we're going to start with Aqueduct, and you decided to look at the eighth race, which is a grade three. It's a mile and three-eighths on the turf. It's the 58th running of the Red Smith, and purses $200,000, and three-year-olds and upward, and give us your picks.
Sure, Dave. So my top selection in this eighth race at Aqueduct is the three horse. The three horse is a horse by the name of Get Jets. Get Jets is 6-1 in the morning line. Is trained by Anthony Dutrow, is ridden by Johnny Velasquez. I think you know that Anthony Dutrow is the trainer of my horse. Mm-hmm. And so I have a tendency to zone in on him when he's training horses, Dave. But Dutrow's been doing very well on that New York circuit. There's a number of things to like about Get Jets. Get Jets, lifetime 11 starts, 6 wins, 3 seconds. Take a look at that turf record, 6 starts on the turf, 4 wins, 2 seconds out of 6 starts. So either been first or second in all 6 of this horse's lifetime starts on the turf. Johnny Velasquez has been on this horse the last 3 times and has won the last 2. Another thing that I noted, Dave, was that when Dutrow and Velasquez team up in the past year, they're 50% together. So Dutrow doesn't use Velasquez very often, but he's used him 14 times and he's won 7 times for Dutrow. And one of those wins was Navajo, my horse. So I also noted here, Dave, that Get Jets does have a number of subpar 12-second last eighth of a mile. So coming back to some of my earlier comments in the Horse Nuggets segment, this horse looks like it's got a decent close, and I like the record. I like the fact this is a 4-year-old colt purchased for $300,000. Has a bullet work there at Belmont on the training track prior to coming into this race. And so, Dave, I'm going to make three Get Jets my top selection in this eighth race at Aqueduct.
All right.
My second selection in this race, Dave, is going to be the 10. The 10 is Call Provision. Call Provision's 5-1 in the morning line. Chad Brown's the trainer. I read Ortiz, the better of the two Ortiz brothers on the turf, in my opinion, is the rider. This horse has got a pretty nice record here at Aqueduct, Dave. 3-for-3 on the turf course at Aqueduct. Another horse with a really standout record just racing on the turf, 12 starts on the turf, 6 wins, 2 seconds and a third, has produced a hundred buyer speed figure on the turf. But that buyer speed figure was produced the last time out. So there's potential for a little bit of a bounce there. But we do have probably the top turf trainer in the country, maybe in the world, and Chad Brown is the trainer on this thing. If you look back on that race on September 24th, our selection Get Jets beat Call Provision in that particular race, though Call Provision did close and finished second by a nose. So, going to be a pretty competitive race, shows a number of subpar 12-second last eighths of a mile. So this is another horse that should be running late. And 5-1 is a pretty nice price on a horse with this kind of record. And so I thought that the 10 horse Call Provision should be our second selection in this race.
Okay.
Our third selection in this race, Dave, is the 9 horse. The 9 horse is Hunter O'Reilly. Hunter O'Reilly's trained by Jimmy Toner, ridden by Manny Franco. Horse has been off a little while. Last raced August 26th on the turf at Saratoga in the Sword Dancer. Faced some pretty good horses there. In fact, the winner of that race, Sadler's Joy, was one of our top three picks that day in the Sword Dancer, and went off at 14-1 and paid a nice mutual. I've noted that this horse has produced a 104 buyer speed figure on the turf. So certainly this horse's best effort would get the job done. I am a fan of Manny Franco, as I mentioned, on the turf. This horse is off a short layoff between 60 and 180 days. And I did also circle that the last two times this horse was off a layoff, he won. So very similar layoff as to the last two times, and seemed like a logical horse for us to put in as our third selection. So the 9 Hunter O'Reilly is our third selection. So to summarize, Dave, in the 8th race at Aqueduct on Saturday, our selections are the 3, the 10, and the 9.
All right, then let's move on to Churchill Downs. You have picked the 10th race, and that's a mile and a 16th on the turf. It's the 14th running of the Commonwealth Turf, $100,000 purse. And give us your picks.
Yep. So another turf race, Dave, and my selection in this race, Dave, is going to be the number 4 horse. The 4 horse is a horse called Parlor. Parlor's 6-1 in the morning line, trained by Eddie Keneally, ridden by Julian Le Peru. I've noted, this horse is coming off a nice workout there on the Churchill Turf course the last time out. I think Julian Le Peru fits this horse pretty well. I did underline one of the races there on June 30th at Churchill Downs in the summertime, where Le Peru just set off the pace and closed extremely well with this horse. Keneally and Le Peru are 27% when they get together at Churchill Downs. Keneally is off to an incredible start at Churchill, Dave. Take a look at that. 9 in 9 starts so far in the meet that just opened up. Keneally's produced 4 winners, a 2nd and 2/3. So I like to play hot trainers. Generally they've done something that has affected most of the horses in their barn when these guys get hot, especially at the beginning of a meet. So really, my selection here has a lot to do with the fact that Keneally looks like he's got his horses ready and ready for this meet. Horse been on the turf 9 times, has won 3, finished 2nd twice, finished 3rd 1 of the times. So, pretty nice record on the turf, get a good turf jockey and a hot trainer. So my top selection, Dave, in this 10th race at Churchill is the 4 horse Parlor. My second selection in the race, Dave, is the 5 horse Gorgeous Kitten. Gorgeous Kitten is 8-1 in the morning line. Mike Maker's the trainer. Corey Lannery's the jockey. When Lannery and Maker get together at Churchill Downs, they're 31% together, which is an outstanding record. Horse has a couple of subpar 12-second last quarters. But I have noted here, Dave, that in that last race on the Poly at Woodbine, this horse showed some speed. And I wouldn't be surprised for this horse to show a little speed in this particular race. And I'm not sure there's a whole lot of speed in this field. So for me, this seemed like a pretty good horse to put in at 8-1 as our second selection. So Gorgeous Kitten, the 5 horse, is our second selection. And then our third selection, Dave, is the 6 horse. The 6 horse is Mr. Misunderstood, who's trained by Brad Cox, ridden by Florent Giroux. This horse is 4-5 in the morning line. So, this horse is going to get pounded, going to get bet down. This horse is 6-6 lifetime on the turf, 1-1 at Churchill Downs, has won 7 of his lifetime starts. But I did compare these buyer speed figures to the horses that we're betting on, and our horses are competitive. And in some of the situations, Dave, the horses that I've put on top have as good as, if not better, speed figures than Mr. Misunderstood. So, I'd be a fool not to put a 4-5 shot in our top three picks, but I'm going to try to beat this horse with Parlor. So the six horse Mr. Misunderstood's our third selection. So to summarize, Dave, in the 10th race at Churchill on Saturday, our selections are the 4, 5, and 6.
All right. Then we'll wrap it up with Del Mar, the 5th race. This is only 7 furlongs, a short race. It's a grade 3, the 36th running of the Bob Hope, and purses yeah. $100,000, 2-year-olds.
Yep. Short race, short field. There's only 6 horses in this race, Dave.
Perfect
so,
for Del Mar.
yeah. So, our top selection in this race is going to be Merino, the 2-horse who's 9-5 in the morning line, trade by Baffert, Bob Baffert, ridden by Drayton Van Dyke. Couple things to note here. This horse produced an 86 buyer speed figure, his first lifetime start. And then bounced off that start and produced a 70 buyer speed figure. You know that I like to take into consideration the bounce factor, and often these horses have a tendency to go back to produce a similar figure to the one that they produced that was a top figure. So I feel like the horse bounced the last time. Certainly, is training well, has that nice bullet work out there at Santa Anita, that 4 furlongs and 47-3. Van Dyke doesn't ride a lot of horses for Baffert, but when he does, they're 46% in the past year, which is really good. Bob had blinkers on this horse in his first 2 lifetime starts, and now has taken the blinkers off. We should also take a look and see that Van Dyke was on this horse when he broke his maiden, and then Garcia got up for the second start, that non-graded stakes that this horse was in the last time, and Baffert goes right back to Van Dyke for this particular start in the Bob Hope. So a lot of signs point to this horse. Baffert's really good with horses sprinting and stakes, and so we're going to make the 2-horse Merino at 9-5 our top selection. Then I'll give you a little bit of a price play for our second selection, Dave. Our second selection is the 6-horse Italiano. Italiano's trained by Jerry Hollendorfer, is ridden by Mike Smith. When Smitty and Hollendorfer get teamed up together, they're 30%. Hollendorfer's a 22% trainer in graded stakes, which is really outstanding. There's some speed inside this horse, Dave. I don't anticipate that this horse is going to be show the kind of early speed that he's shown in his first two lifetime starts. I think that Smith is probably going to try to get a stalking trip here, and if the speed battles itself into the ground, I have a lot of confidence in the Mike Smiths of the world to pick up the pieces when they're available. So I figured we're going to get a pretty smart ride here out of Smitty, and maybe he'll be there to pick up what has been left over by the speed horses after they burn themselves out. So we're going to make the 6-horse Italiano our second selection. And our third and final selection in this race, Dave, we're going to make the 5 Beautiful Shot our third selection, 5-2 in the morning line, trained by Keith DeSormo, ridden by Kent DeSormo. Here's what I liked about this horse. I thought this horse was, probably the most pure closer in the race, and both of this horse's lifetime starts. You can see that race at Del Mar was, almost 10 lengths back at the beginning of the race, and, had that big, strong close with Kent up. And then the horse did come back and win that minor stake at Santa Anita, the Speakeasy, and also showed a closing move, beating our top 6 selection, Merino. So, I think this horse has got a big shot, especially if the speed battles, and if Smith winds up getting tied up in that speed battle and is not able to raid Italiano, then, certainly Beautiful Shot could be the horse closing in the middle of the lane and could take them all. So we're going to make the five horse beautiful shot our third selection. So to summarize, Dave, in this fifth race at Del Mar, our selections are the 2, 6, and 5.
All right. I'll go ahead and wrap this up. Now, I was going to ask a question. The race is coming up in the next few weeks. I mean, you're going to be, you know, starting the close tracks come up soon, and, you know, some go dark for a while. Are we going to be seeing a lot of graded stakes as Frank's to
two? Yeah, Dave, I think Aqueduct has a pretty, still has a pretty good card in the wintertime. My recollection is that they do run stakes out there, and we've got a few weeks at Del Mar too as well, and the winter meet at Santa Anita. We'll find their stakes races run every weekend. It's just a matter now of whether how many graded stakes we're going to wind up being able to to handicap. But the pickings might be a little slimmer than they normally are in the spring and the summertime, but we'll find the races that are interesting to the listeners, and keep trying to attack some of these, these tougher stakes races on Saturdays. But yeah, that's definitely a good question. Yes, the racing season does start to kind of wind down after the Breeders' Cup.
All right, great. So with that, we'll wrap this up. Again, make sure you visit our website, offthechartshorseracing.com. Go to our Twitter feed at offthechartshr, and any race day changes, podcast updates, and other picks will be tweeted out. So be sure you're following us. Of course, subscribe and any of your favorite podcatchers, as well as you can find us on iTunes. Should be no and make sure you subscribe and take a listen. And you also can email us if you choose. Our email is questions@offthechartshorseracing.com. Any closing comments before we wrap this up?
Yeah, Dave, just a couple things. I did tweet out some races on Friday on the Breeders' Cup undercard on Friday. I think I tweeted out four picks and we hit with two of them. So anyone who happened to follow us on Twitter got those two winners from me through Twitter. And the other thing that I'd like to mention is that we did have our most downloaded podcast in the history of this podcast Friday and Saturday. Yeah, so exciting. I'm hoping we get a lot of return people back and they like the kind of stuff that we're doing here and they find it interesting. So but yes, I don't tweet a lot of stuff, but when I do, I tweet out usually horses that I like, especially with the races that I'm watching on a given, even on a given Saturday or Sunday. So it's worth the follow us on Twitter.
It sure is. And you don't have to be a lot of people who tweet out there who are tweeting anything and everything. So there's a little quality of the tweets that are out there. So you're going to get some good information. So definitely follow us. All right. With that, I thank you for joining us and I wish you good luck and good racing.